This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Wealthability for CPAs show. Better clients, better practice, better life. Here's Tom Wheelwright.
Welcome to the Wealthability show for CPAs, where we're always discovering how to build better clients, a better practice, and a better life. Hi, this is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder, and CEO of the Wealthability Network. So big in the news right now is ChatGPT and AI. And the question is, we've already talked about blockchain. Will AI, what impact will AI actually have on the accounting profession? Will it be a positive? Will it be negative? We've talked about blockchain being a, replacing a lot of the bookkeeping and financial reporting and even auditing. And now we're looking at AI. Is it going to replace us from an advisory standpoint? And with us today, we have Nick Hallman from the University of Texas. So very pleased to have somebody from that's currently teaching at my alma mater. And Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Tom.
So if you could, Nick, give us a little of your background and why you're so interested in AI and the coming technologies.
Right. So I am, as you mentioned, a newly promoted associate professor here at the University of Texas at Austin. And I did my PhD at the University of Missouri. And so I came straight to Austin from there. I've been here for, I suppose, 6 or so years now. For a long time after getting here, I was teaching an auditing course. That's my background. I was an auditor for Deloitte for several years before I went to go get my PhD. But at some point, we realized that a lot of our students had a desire to learn how to do more sophisticated sorts of data analysis than we were really teaching them here in the program. And we've been hearing for years from the firms and private employers that they need the students coming out of our program to have some of those skills. And so recently, just this last fall, actually was the first semester that we ramped this up, I started teaching a data analysis course based in Python to our master's level accounting students here at UT, which I'm a little biased, but I think it went quite well. And a part of that, I mean, we dive into things like machine learning and, character recognition, how all of that stuff works, not because I expect accountants will be doing that level of programming on the job, at least not out of the gate, but because these are tools that are coming and in some cases are already in play. And I think it's important that accountants know how the tools they're using work rather than treating them as a sort of black box.
Yeah. So if you would, could you just give us a little tutorial on what is AI and what does it do currently and what will it be able to do in the future?
So I feel like I need to preface anything I say here with the caveat that I'm speculating and predicting what the future of technology is going to look like is a dubious task at best. I heard recently actually somebody define AI as all the things that computers can't do yet. So we've gone through this cycle over and over again of setting the bar for AI. So, you might have said a few decades ago that AI would be when a computer could beat a human at chess, right? That would be an artificial intelligence. Well, that milestone has come and gone long ago. And If you asked somebody last year whether that was the bar for AI, they probably would have told you no. We've met several such milestones, and increasingly, recently, things have begun to look, I think, like an AI that we might not, in retrospect, not call an AI. So you mentioned ChatGPT in particular. I'm not so sure that in 4 or 5 years' time, we will look back at what ChatGPT did today and say, no, that wasn't an AI. I'm not sure we may be finished short of moving the bar. The technology that exists today, ChatGPT in particular, is it's eerie when you use it. I assume you've played around with it sometime.
I have, yep.
Most people have. But it's still somewhat limited. And part of that limitation comes from the fact that it will, if you ask it for specific types of information, it will just make things up and quite confidently tell you that that things are true that are not true. Famously, I've seen many examples of it making up references. So it will cite papers with authors that really exist on topics that those authors really study, but the papers, the particular papers that it cites as sources, those papers just don't exist. I recently asked it to write a program, a Python program for me, and it called on a package in Python that exists and referenced functionality of that package that plausibly could exist, but just doesn't. That is a consequence of the way the model is trained, which I can go into some if you like. I don't know if you care to do that.
We won't go that deep, Nick. But right now it's pretty much just gathering, looking at all the data it has, and then interpreting that data to answer a question. I mean, fundamentally, that's what it's doing, right?
Well, that's not quite right. So maybe just a surface layer of detail here. What it's actually doing is just building plausible sentences. So what the model does is it's looked at a whole bunch of human written sentences on the internet. And it's not going out and searching the internet live when you ask it a question. What it's doing is, based on the prompt that you it will basically just try and predict the next word that might plausibly have appeared on the internet given that prompt. And then once it's predicted that next word, it will predict the next word and the next word and the next word based on all the preceding words, including the prompt and the words it's already given you. That's an oversimplification clearly, but that's basically what it's doing. So it's not actually trying to produce truth in most cases. What it's trying to do is sound like a human.
Interesting. So there's some danger right there, obviously, because you might think that it's giving you accurate information when it's not. It just sounds plausible.
That's exactly right. And it's particularly dangerous because it often sounds so plausible that it's easy to just skip the verification process. Now, that's a problem that is in the process of being solved. Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, these companies, they know that this is a problem if they want to commercialize this. Their use case is such a broad use case. They want to use it for, say, search, that it's a very difficult problem to fix. It's a little easier if your use case is more narrow, like it would be, say, for an accountant. And so there's been work done where you can narrow the corpus of information that this AI is allowed to pull from and get much more accurate responses. If, say, as a hypothetical example that I have some interest in perhaps working on, if you wanted to write a version of ChatGPT that could just write tax position memos, right? Mm-hmm. That would be much easier to get. It would be much easier to get an accurate version of that sort of specialized use case than it would be to get a general chatbot of the type that ChatGPT is now.
All right. So let's take it down that road. You mentioned the tax research memo. So what are your biggest concerns about AI and how it might affect the industry? Let's look at the downside first, then we'll talk about the upside.
Sure. Well, they're the same side, I think. I am a bit of a tech optimist. And so certainly I could imagine a lot of first year and staff hours being substituted away by something like a chatbot of this type, taking a stab at a first draft of a position memo to go into an audit file or as part of tax work. I remember spending hours drafting those memos myself while I was in practice. And so to the extent you're worried about perhaps the accounting profession needing fewer hours overall because bots are doing some of that work.
That's a good thing.
That's a downside. I see it as a good thing.
I think that's a good thing. We have a shortage of accountants. So fewer hours would probably be a good thing from that standpoint.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And so long as it's treated responsibly, so long as it's treated as a first draft, right? So no first draft. My background is in audit, not in tech, so I'll speak using that analogy. But to the extent that my senior or my manager, when I was a first or second year at Deloitte, would not just take my position memos and stick them into the file unread, so long as we're not doing that with the output of these chatbots, I don't see a lot of risks. And maybe I'm being short-sighted here, but if you take it as a first draft, and you fact check the memo as my seniors and managers did when I would write them and make sure the logic makes sense, then it seems like a very powerful tool that I frankly doesn't have a lot of serious downsides, except if you're concerned about employing lots of accountants, which is not, as you say, a concern that we are so worked up about these days with the shortage.
Right. So let's kind of take this down the road. Great if it does a first draft. Here's the question. So we've talked previously on this show, we've talked about blockchain and the impact the blockchain could have on audits, since blockchain is fundamentally an audit mechanism to make sure that everything, that transactions are accurate. So now you have the potential, realistically, of eliminating bookkeepers. You have the potential, financial statements are pretty easy at that point. At what point do you think that AI starts doing analysis as opposed to simply, proposing the next word?
I simply don't know. So what you're describing is something that might be called sort of a general AI. So an AI that has sort of human level ability to do all sorts of human type cognitive tasks. If you talk to some experts in the field, they'll tell you this is around the corner. It could be 2030, 2040. I'm not so sure. I'm not an expert in the field. I'm an accountant primarily that does some tech stuff on the side. And so I would defer to them, but the leap that's got to be made to go from predicting the next word with some accuracy and sort of in an eerie way to decide what analysis to do and then go do it and then go interpret it. That seems like a big leap to me. I'm not so concerned. I'm not so excited or concerned, depending on how you view it, about that happening in the near future.
So you see it more as a tool that will eliminate some of the routine tasks. I mean, for example, like you say, drafting a memo or drafting an email to a client or drafting a response to the IRS. But it's all drafting, not the actual analysis of, is this a good draft?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I see it as, I see it like Excel, right? So Excel comes along, and before that, accountants would spend hours summing columns of numbers to make sure that they correctly summed. And that was not time well spent. And the fact that Excel came along, I've got a colleague here in the department who he's close to retirement, and he harkens back to a time when people said Excel is going to kill accounting. What do we need accountants for now that Excel exists? And I've started to hear people say similar things about blockchain or ChatGPT, and I don't see that happening. I think it becomes a tool, and we certainly don't have fewer accountants now than we did before Excel. It was quite the opposite.
So besides, eliminating the drafting and doing that kind of stuff, where do you see the tools between blockchain and AI? Where do you see them most benefiting the advisory services that an accountant's going to provide?
And exactly the same way that it would benefit somebody doing tax work or audit work. If we're speaking specifically about ChatGPT now and sort of the chatbot, maybe not that bot, but the chatbot sphere, it's in all of the things that you mentioned, writing emails, writing memos. You could even, so for instance, if you were a consultant doing advisory work or an auditor doing some sort of data analysis, and you were doing that analysis in a tool like Python that requires coding, there are chatbots that are very good, that are purpose-built, in fact, to produce code. So if you're not brushed up, you're not sort of fluent in whatever language it is that you're writing in, but you know that that language is going to be powerful for the purpose, for the analysis that you're hoping to do, you can go to a chatbot like this and in plain language, tell it what you want done. And in a lot of cases, it will produce working code that does what you asked it to do. Now, I referenced this earlier. Sometimes the code doesn't work because, again, what the bot is trying to do is write code that seems plausible. It doesn't actually know what code exists, what code's going to work and what won't. It's not trying to run the code on its own. It's just producing code that looks plausible based on scrapes of lots and lots of forums of people talking about code and giving each other advice on how to code.
All right.
But it's a very useful tool.
It sounds like it. So take yourself back to your Deloitte days and you go, okay, if we had the AI and we had what a blockchain could do, what would be eliminated in your job? What roles would be eliminated there?
Well, so if you talk to the firms right now about what, how do I want to say this? More and more, the role of a first year, a second year, an intern even at some firms, particularly the big ones, they're the ones I'm most familiar with, is looking like the role of a senior. And the senior's roles are looking like the roles of managers. And that sort of scales up.
Got it.
It used to be, so even as recently as when I was in practice, when I started at Deloitte in, I don't know, the early teens, I guess, I was doing lots of what I would call grunt work. I would make copies. I would put columns manually in 10Ks. I would go on mule runs. And I think there's a lot less of that being done because the footing of columns, the writing of memo drafts, nobody makes copies. All of that work is sort of disappearing or is being automated, which means there is space for those people to do more interesting, more thought-provoking work. But it's also a lot more responsibility. And this is a little bit of an aside, but another reason some of that work is going away, some of it's being automated, some of it is being sort of centralized or offshored so that some of the grunt work that can't be automated yet is, at least from the perspective of somebody on an audit team sitting at a client site today, it might as well be automated because it goes off to some other group, often offshore, and then comes back finished. And so you have, what's funny is you have staff now reviewing work that they never actually learned to do in the first place.
Wow.
And that was always the case with offshoring. That I think is increasingly going to be the case with automation. So you'll now have staff having to review memos when they never got the experience of drafting those memos in the first place, which is, that's an interesting place to go. I don't know how that will work. I suspect we'll find out.
Well, it'll be interesting. So you're there in the college sphere, and how is this going to affect how you teach the students? Because obviously there's been a lot of discussion in English departments about this, but how will it affect how you teach and what you teach in the graduate school, for example?
Yeah, so there's no shortage of discussion outside of the English department. I've had many discussions about this with my colleagues here in McCombs, the business school, and there is widely diverging opinions. My personal opinion for my course, yep. And I would do the same if I was in auditing, is all my exams are open book, open note, open internet. That includes ChatGPT. I sort of hope to teach students skills that are useful in a world where lots of things are being automated. And if I just preclude them from using those tools so that I can teach them something that isn't actually useful in practice because a bot can do it, then I'm not exactly sure what they're paying me for. Now, there are exceptions to that rule, I think. So for instance, if you're trying to teach somebody, just by way of analogy, if you're trying to teach somebody to do arithmetic, and it's important that you know how arithmetic works, well, it might make sense to bar them from using a calculator, right? Because they're never actually going to understand the fundamentals of arithmetic if you allow them to use a calculator from Go. But that is now, barring that calculator or ChatGPT or any of these other things, that's becoming more and more difficult in the academic setting, to the point where a lot of professors are just saying, listen, everything's going to be done in class with a paper and pencil. As the technology advances, the sort of pedagogy almost retreats, right. And we're back to writing things down physically on paper.
Well, that's that. Actually, my wife and I were talking about this. Of course, my wife and I are old enough to remember the blue books, where you did actually do an exam on a blank piece of paper and wrote it. When I took the CPA exam, there were no calculators allowed. So the question is that, do you force people to learn the rudimentary skills? For example, right now I run into a lot of CPAs that say, well, the tax program does that. I don't even have to check it, which is scary because the tax program doesn't always do it right. And so, Right. Or it's like, you know, they go to the master tax guy, say, well, here's what the master tax guy says. I'm saying, yeah, but that's not what the law says. Okay. So how do you get people to learn basically how to do the analysis if they're not having to do the fundamental analysis?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is important that they do actually learn. So one way of thinking about this is you have a big ball of knowledge, and there are things that are core to that knowledge set that you've really got to understand at all the ins and outs of that, right? So if you're a tax accountant, the tax law is pretty fundamental to that. And then as you move out towards the edges, there are things that are maybe useful to know, but that you don't actually have to understand all the ins and outs of them in order to use them effectively. And so if you're a tax accountant, the way to do some super sophisticated data analysis, that might be on the periphery of your knowledge set. And maybe it's not so important that you understand all the ins and outs of it. And a tool like ChatGPT that can sort of help you get by with a surface level of knowledge of that, that's perfectly reasonable. And I don't see a reason to take something like ChatGPT out of the hands of accountants who are on the side sort of learning to code and do some sophisticated data analysis. That's not to say that I would ever trust, that I would ever advise them to just forego learning how to do basic audit procedures if they're an auditor, in the hopes that the bot's just going to take care of it. No, of course not.
Interesting. So shifting a little bit to the IRS, there's been some discussion in the news lately about the IRS using AI. How do you see AI being used in determining whether somebody's breaking the law, somebody's misreporting their income? How do you see it applying in that realm?
So I wish I knew the news story that you're referring to. I know that. So there's two things that often get conflated because they're nebulous terms, are machine learning and AI. I certainly believe that machine learning is being used by the IRS. They'd be crazy not to. But I don't think, again, I'm not familiar with the particular story that you're referring to, but my understanding of the way the IRS uses machine learning is much in the same way that an auditor of, that I would use it as an auditor when I was at Deloitte auditing the books of some public company. It's not going to give you an answer, a definitive answer. What it will do is narrow the scope of things that you need to look at more carefully and manually. So they can weed out at the IRS a bunch of people that are low risk, probably don't need to be audited, and then more effectively use sort of human hours to audit the most risky cases. Yeah.
So they can use it to target, refine their search and refine their targets.
That's not to say that when the machine learning model spits out, hey, you know, taxpayer X looks suspicious, that they've actually done anything wrong. It's just to say, hey, go take a look. That's probably an efficient use of your time.
Got it. How do you think that AI will affect, or ChatGPT will affect, relationship between advisors, particularly accountants, tax professionals, and their clients?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. In a world where I was talking to some a couple of partners from Pricewaterhouse the other day, who were saying that they're now spending one or two, their teams, not just the partners, their teams are spending 1 or 2 days on client site as audit teams, which is a big shift from even when I was in practice, where we would spend all week at the client site. So a lot more communication with clients are being done digitally, which opens the door for sort of this intervening force like ChatGPT to take over some of that communication. So I will know that I want to write a colleague an email just here at UT, and I'll know the broad strokes of what I want to say, and I will ask ChatGPT, all right, here are the points I want to make in this email, draft the email for me. And I will do a shockingly good job at drafting that email, which I can just copy and paste over into my email server and fire away. I mean, read it, of course, but I see that being the immediate use case. We may eventually get to the point where these accounting firms are able to simply allow the chatbot to respond without that sort of supervision. It may get good enough to where there's no human intervention needed at all on the accountant side. I don't know. It's very difficult to predict.
So, last question. If you can think about one or two ways that you think that AI will actually allow the CPA to serve their clients better. Not just be more efficient, but actually serve them better, provide them better data, better information. Can you think of a one or two situations where that might be really useful?
So perhaps not with the... Okay, well, maybe I can. So to the extent that a service like ChatGPT or some more tailored version of it, as we discussed, is able to write more convincing, say, tax position arguments. And it may be able to do that even now, I don't know, because I have not seen sort of a narrow tailored version of it targeted towards accounting. That's coming, I suspect. To the extent that it can write more convincing arguments of that type, I mean, that seems beneficial for clients right out of the gate. Stepping aside from the specifics of like chatbots for a moment, certainly something like sort of large scale machine learning data analysis could, if you're a consultant working for a company, could certainly help you make better predictions on the company's behalf. So one of the things, for instance, that I have my students work on in my class is we use very large data sets of foot traffic data where cell phone companies track where you are with your phone. They sell that data to aggregators. We can see that data. And now I can see how many people show up at a particular Starbucks on a particular day, depending on what else is happening sort of in the area, right? And so if you can build machine learning models to collate and use that data to make strong predictions about future demand, right? I could see a consultant really upping their game to help companies that they're consulting for.
Interesting. So you're not seeing AI and blockchain as replacing accountants, period, but rather allowing them to do more interesting, more analytical type work.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, as I mentioned before, we've gone through cycles of new technology is coming. They're going to replace accountants. And then we learned that, no, it just becomes a tool to help accountants do their job better and more efficiently. And so I'm far from sort of ringing the death knell of the accounting profession based on the new technology we see coming out now.
Well, I love it. I love the idea that we need fewer accountants because we have so few to begin with. So, and the idea that we can spend more of our time doing more useful and analytical type work with our clients is fantastic. So thank you, Nick Hallman from the University of Texas. Really a pleasure to have you today, Nick. And just remember, this is something, you know, even if you're old like me, I've been in this profession almost 45 years now. You can't be ignoring this stuff. This is something that is here and it's just going to accelerate. And if we pay attention, what we can actually do is provide better value, which means we end up with better clients, a better practice, and a better life. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Tom.
You've been listening to the Wealthability for CPA show. Better clients, better practice, better life. To learn more, go to wealthability.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.